All right, so it's supposed to be together. First of all, a very special welcome to Avram David. Avira Da'ara, anytime you have Avira Da'ara in the bias, it's a very special schus. Avram David, often, although, Baruch Hashem, I don't want to give reasons why publicly, but although for the last few weeks he hasn't been listening, but for a long time he was listening from Eretz Yisrael, which we said we were always connected to Avira Da'ara the whole entire shir. It was always very special. But it's chus to have him here in Mirat Hashem. The time you have to be in Golis and Chutz Laretz, we're all in Golis, Emes, unfortunately. That's what these days are about. But the time you have to be in Chutz Laretz should be productive, full of tremendous growth. And you should be zeicha to bring us the Shefa from Eretz Yisrael, bring us the Ruchni that you have, and get back there as soon as possible, Baruch Hashem. I want to give also, by the way, a mazel tov to someone who was a member of the shir many years ago, Rafal Moshe Goodman, Rafi Goodman, who had Baruch Hashem had a baby boy. Shalom Zachar and Bris this upcoming Shabbos Kodesh. I don't know if you call him a member of the shir. If he like came, he was like a Sammy, you know. He came to Hak before, he came to Hak after. I don't know what happened in between, but Baruch Hashem. I'm even Yavin, but we love Rafi. That was on the recording. Should have said that before. Ravi, you know I love you. Lamaisa, it's all good. Lamaisa should be a big schus for Klai Yisrael. I saw the Yerushalmi Moed Katan. It talks about when there's Saras in a family, when there's Misa in a family, the whole family has to be worrying about that Lo Aleinu, it should spread to them as well. But when a ben, I think the lashon is a ben zacher, not just a yelad, but a son is born, the entire family feels the refuah. Whatever that exactly means, not the time to go into right now, but l'maisa, all of Klal Yisrael is feeling the tzaras of this time. All of us are worrying of the days that we're in, and here we have a yingla, a ben born to Klal Yisrael. It should bring not just simcha and bracha to his family, but to all of Klal Yisrael, Baruch Hashem. The shir tonight also should be Lil Nishmas. First of all, my great-great-grandfather, whose yahrzeit is tonight, Rosh Chodesh Av, Eliezer Zusha ben Gershon Yehuda, who my father happens to be named after. They left out the Zusha part for some reason, I don't know. I like Zusha. Zusha. I'm not just talking about the band, you know, I'm talking about the name. I told you I wanted to name Uriel Nassan Tzvi. Also, Zusha, really, but that's another discussion for another time. Anyways, Lamaisa, I mean, with the Nasan Tzvi part, of course. So, Lili Nishmas, Eliezer Zusha, Ben Gershon Yudas, and Shom Shav and Leah should be a male Joshua for Klal Yisrael, as well as for Aaron HaKoyen. It's a yahrzeit of Aaron HaKoyen. I have this chus to be a Koyen Adiv. Another Koyen, any other Kohanim here? So, I'm from David, right? Of course, right. I'm from David as well. So, Kohanim, our great, 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 great grandfather, Aaron HaKoyen's yahrzeit of Chodeshav, as well as above the Rebbe's yahrzeit. So all the neshamos of this day should have an aliyah, and the Torah should be lili nishmasam. This is an amazing Torah. I saw it originally from the Imre Noyam. I saw it today at this class we were learning together with Adiv and the Siv Shalom. That the 22 days of Bein HaMitzarim, the 22 days, including Tisha B'Av, it's 21 days, 3 weeks, plus Tisha B'Av, the 22nd day, the 22 days are connected to the 22 days of Yomim Noirayim up until Shmini Atzeres. From Rosh Hashanah until Shmini Atzeres. What does that mean exactly? So from the Imre Noyam, he goes on that if the 22 days of Bein HaMetzarim is connected to 22 days from Rosh Hashanah until Shmini Atzeres, then the last 8 days, today is Rosh Chodesh, so even though it's the beginning of 9 days, it's still Rosh Chodesh, there's obviously a natural connection to Simcha on Rosh Chodesh. The last 8 days of the 9 days are Keneged, Sukkis and Shemini Atzeres. Zman Simchaseinu. More than any other time of the year, Midrash, what we call Zman Simchaseinu, Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Sukkis, is Keneged these days. They seem like polar opposites. Seems like you can't get farther from two things that we should be should be a contrast, should in no way be connected. How could it be? What is the Svarim saying? That these days are keneged Yom Ha'Nirayim and keneged Sukkis and Zman Simchaseinu. What does that mean? And we see other hints to this, Ramazim to this. Those of us in this room that are Nusuch Svar, Davin Nusuch Svar, I don't know if real Svarim, you do the Eidat Mizrach. I'm not sure if you do what I'm about to say, but we've mentioned this before many times here. Davin Nusuch Svar, right? You Davin Nusuch Svar, no? Right, Tov Yedavin Nusuch Svar. If you Davin Nusuch Svar tomorrow, in Musaf tomorrow, if you pay attention, so in the Musaf, you say a special pasuk for that month based on the Tziruf of Shem Havaya. The most famous and easiest to remember is for Nisan. You say over the pasuk Yismuchu Hashemayim V'Sogel Aretz Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yismuchu Hashemayim V'Sogel Aretz. That's the only one that's in order. The pasuk for the month of Av is from Kisavo Haskeis Ushma Yisrael Hayom. Haskeis, pay attention. Listen, Yisrael Hayom. Haskeis Ushma Yisrael Hayom. Hey Vav Yud Hey. Our Oisios, Yud Kei Vav Kei, scrambled a little, okay? First of all, it's very interesting, so the Sascha brings down, not to get into depth right now, but you see the beginning, Hey and Vav, are backwards, right? It should be Vav Hey, when we say Hey and Vav are backwards. Then it's, that's Haskeis Ushema, Hey, Vav. Then Yisrael, Hayom, Yud Hey, is in order. Obviously, it's at the end, but it's in order. So I saw if Ibn Sascher brings down, I think it was Ibn Sascher, if I'm not mistaken, pretty sure, that we see from here, this is month of Av. The month of Av, the beginning of the month is backwards, and Yeshem Havayah is always din, is judgment. The beginning of Av is full of din. But then comes Tuba Av ain't Simcha, the Gemara in Titus tells us ain't Simcha, l'kali, so Tuba Av, Yom Kippurim, right? Tuba Av already is Nechama and Simcha. So the second half, is it Beseder? The proper order is full of Rachamim already. So Av is not Kulo Din. It's only the second half. Tammuz, by the way, the Pasuk for Tammuz is completely backwards. Because the entire month of Tammuz is full of Din, but that month is overworked, so we're not going to talk about that right now. Anyways, Lamaisa, you see in this Pasuk, Haskeis Yishma. Haskeis is a Remes Sukkis. Haskeis is the letters. Samach, Chav, Tav, Sukkis. We see a connection that somehow these days are connected to Sukkis. Happens to be as well. We just said today, the beginning of these last days of today is the Yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen. The Gemara tells us, as many of you know, it's Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Yud Aleph and Beis, that Aaron HaKohen brought in his chus was the Anani HaKavod. I don't know, the Gemara tells us in Sukkah that the Anani HaKavod is why we have a Sukkah. Machlek is Tanoim, but that's how we, many of us, all understand and hold, and if you understand, like the Gravada, but not for now. Lamaisa, we see from here, Aaron HaKohen, beginning is, again, a remez l'sukkos. So there's a tremendous connection, this tremendous kesher between Sukkos and these days. Sukkos Zman Simchaseinu, and these days, the most difficult, most painful days of the entire year. What's going on? How is there any connection between these, Bein HaMetzorim and Zman Simchaseinu? So goes weiter, if you learn through Sifrei Chassidus, learn through almost every Sefer, one and another, every single one, turns and flips these days into such beautiful days, definitely special days, and often Simchadik days. I saw, also I believe from the Imri Noyam, and I saw this in a couple Svarim actually, that what does it mean, and obviously this is B'derech Drush, Mishenichnas Av Mematin B'Simcha, you could learn, obviously, B'derech Drush, and this is, you have to open up your Chassidish heart to hear this Torah, but when Av enters, Mematin, you should diminish the suffering and sorrows that you've had, and B'simcha, and then be B'simcha. Obviously, it's far from Pasha Pshat, far from the way to read the Gemara, but again, Shivim Panim L'Torah, and like I said, you have to open up your Chassidish heart. But there's some idea that the Sifrei Chassidus are telling us to flip around the days, that we should say that they're keneged Zman Simchaseinu, that these last 8 days are keneged Sukkos, and to flip around such a Pasha teaching to teach us that these are days of Simcha, And then finally, the very famous Gemara in Yuma, Daf Nun Dalid, that when our Oivim were Nichnosim al Heichel, they entered into Beis HaMikdosh, they found the Kruvim Urim Zebzeh, the Kruvim embracing, which is completely connected to the Gemara in Baba Basra. And the Gemara in Baba Basra tells us that the Kruvim represented our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And when we were not doing, when we were doing Aisur Ratzel Shemalkum, they were looking at each other, embracing. When we weren't, they were Pnei Malabayas. They were back to back. Turn your back on someone when you don't like them. So you'd think at the moment of Churban Beis Hamikdash, the moment of destruction, Vada, they shouldn't be embracing. What's going on? How are the Sifrei Chassidus turning these days into days of Simcha, days of Ahava? How's the Gemara, and how do we have a Chazal that the Kruvim were embracing? What is going on? It's a very famous Torah from the Maggid of Mezrich. Maybe the most famous Torah of Bein HaMetzarim. I'm sure you've all heard it before, but it's worth the Chazara. Because I don't fully grasp at least the way the Kushan Tzur Maggid, the Avodah Yisrael, explains it. The Avodah Yisrael, I think, is the first one to bring it down. But all the Sefer Chassidus after him bring it down. You can't open any Sefer, even not just Chassidus, and not see this Vart on Bein HaMetzarim, on Tisha B'Av. The Pasuk in Eicha, right at the beginning, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Gimel, Kol Rodfei Yisigua Bein HaMetzarim. Kol Rodfei Yisigua Bein HaMetzarim, the way that the Maggid of Mezrich, Rav Dov Ber, understood that, Kol Rodfeha, anyone who runs after him, runs after the Rabbi Nishlom, Yisigua Bein HaMetzarim, will for sure reach him during these days of Bein HaMetzarim. Meaning, the Maggid of Mezrich is telling us, of all the entire year, the easiest time to build a close relationship with the Eibishter is right now. The Mashal, explained by the Avodas Yisrael, that I believe the Maggid gave, if I'm not mistaken, is as follows. That when you have a Melech, when you have a king, and the king is in his palace, the king is sitting on his throne. It's very difficult to get to him. You have to have real protexia. You have to have real in. You have to have real, even lahavdil, lahavdil, lahavdil. You try to get to the president of the United States. We don't want to even mention his name these days specifically after what he's doing to the Welt. We don't even want to mention his name. We have to bang like by Haman on Purim. There's some connection with Iran. There's some connection there. That's Persia. There's got to be some connection there. But for another time, I don't want to even talk about it. Chas v'shalom. Shem Yirachim. On the entire world. But a president, a different president, we won't mention any name. Just to get to the president, very, very difficult. To get to the king is very, very difficult. But when the king is out traveling, out in the different cities, playing golf, it's much easier to get to him. If you happen to be in that mokum, and you knew and around him, so you would have. It's a much easier time that you could somehow get over to him. You could shake his hand, you could ask him a question, you could, at least whatever it would be, as opposed to when he's sitting on his throne in his palace. So too, the Rabbi Nisham, the Eibishter, by Churban Beis HaMikdash, he's no longer at home, no longer at a palace, he's basadeh, he's in the fields, he's in the cities, he's wherever he might be, and therefore it's much easier to be mekusher to him. That's how the Maggid Medrash explains. In fact, the Noam Elimelech, the Rabbi Rav Melech explains, uses this Torah to explain that in a certain sense, it's easier to have Ruach HaKodesh today than it was Bizman Beis HaMikdash. I can only say this because Noam Elimelech says it. How so? Because Bizman Beis HaMikdash, when the Melech was Al Kisei Kvodai, when the Eibishter Rabbi Nishalom was Al Kisei Kvodai, when there was Beis HaMikdash in such a way, in this world, Begila is always Bekisi Kvoda, obviously, but in our understanding of that, so in order to get there, you had to do tremendous achonas and to get close to him and to have Ruach Kodesh. You had to do such achonas and you had to prepare yourself and mizaki yourself in so many ways. But now that the Melech, the bias has been destroyed and the Melech is out, so it's a little bit easier to connect and a little easier to have Ruach Kodesh. This is what the Naim HaMelech says, whatever that means. And the MS is, I was thinking about this Torah and I didn't fully grasp it. Not the Torah. Kol Rofel Yisigubi Mitzorim Vada, we all agree with. But we have to understand it. Based on this mashal itself, Lanias Daiti, I don't fully grasp. Why? Because if you say Vada, if you say the Rebbein Hashem, the Eibishter, so he's not in his palace, because he chose not to be in his palace. And therefore he wanted to go and be around the people because he was leaving his palace to be around the people. But it's easier to get them. But here, his house had to be destroyed because of some richuk, some distance, because we weren't doing what's right. He obviously didn't want to be with us. He doesn't want to be in our presence. The Shekhinah doesn't want to reside amongst us. So it's easier to find him. I'd say like this, meaning, lahavdil, if a king was in his palace, it's very difficult to get him. But a king decides he doesn't want to be with his people, so he leaves his palace to go to some far-off land, bistama, it's even more difficult to get them. You can't even get them with the protexia. So during Churban Beis HaMikdash, during these days, how's it easier to find him? What's pshat? So I want to give a little bit of Vada, that's one way. And Vada, the way we can answer my question in the Pasha way, to answer it the way that the Avodah Zarah explains and those, is because ultimately the Ribbono Shel Olam can't stay away from us. And Imo Anochi Batzara, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is with us even today. And even though I just gave the pictures, if he wants to leave us, we're his children, and he never leaves us. So if he's not in his bias, he's around us. That's the truth. But still, it's hard to understand, and I want to explain it in a different way. Eli, live divrei klam chayim, and give over a different possibility. And I think the answer is found in the comparison we started with. Listen closely, Chevra. The Rinoyam tells us that the 22 days of Bein HaMitzarim is connected to the days of Rosh Hashanah through Shmini Atzeres. And if that's true, listen, Chevra. If that's true, so what day is Tisha B'Av Keneged? The culmination, the destruction itself, the worst of worst days. What day is Tisha B'Av Keneged? Shmini Atzeres. What Shmini Atzeres? We all know what Shmini Atzeres is. What Chazal teach us Shmini Atzeres is? Because Shmini Atzeres is not Sukkis. It's the day after Sukkis. We don't shake lulav that's Shmini Atzeres. What Shmini Atzeres is after Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and everything. And Sukkis, and Zman Tzimu Chaseinu, Hashem said, Kasha Lai Lefidaschem. We're about to go into Chayrif Zman, we're about to go into the darkness and the cold winter, and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Kasha Lai Lefidaschem, I don't want to separate from you. We're about to leave the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Shmini Atzeres says, one more day, let's stay together. We're having that separation anxiety, us to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to us. And therefore, there's one more day. And that's the most simchadik of all days. That's the day we have Simchas Torah as well, ultimately. Why? Because sometimes, Chevra, when you're in a relationship, in a very special relationship, and you're with that person day in and day out, we tend to lose sight and not appreciate the relationship the way we should. In all our relationships, Baruch Hashem, everyone in this room, we have parents, beautiful, wonderful parents that do so much for us. And care about us, and give us so much, and we're only who we are because of them. How often do we really stop and think how amazing they've been to us, how much they've done for us? When was the last time we thanked them for the daily givings that they did for us? When was the last time? When was the last time we thought about it? We take it for granted. When you're with someone every day, you take the relationship for granted. It doesn't matter what the relationship is. You tend to just lose sight of how special it is. And you, of course, if you stop and I ask you, do you love your parents? Of course I love my parents. Do you love your siblings? Of course I love my siblings. Do you love your wife? Of course you love your wife. When was the last time you showed that love to them? When was the last time you felt it in that deep, special way? Or what? But you know how that is, and some of you might remember, and I've seen it every single year. Every single year when it comes the end of August, Elul time, and I go to the airport night in, night out to see off the chevra to yeshivas, and you see mamish parents and children sometimes, but guys are a little less emotional, obviously, but mothers specifically, mamish crying, hugging their children. You don't see it because you guys go on the plane. I'm with them after, and they're standing there watching you as you go through security, bawling, mamish mothers bawling, tears streaming down their cheeks. They didn't do that with you all summer, for 2 months, for all year. Maybe they didn't do that for 20 years, or 18 years, whatever you are at that point. But here, because there's separation about to occur, because of that feeling that there's going to be, we're not going to be together daily, you recognize and you feel that closeness in the deepest of ways. But, and that's there, it's the moment prior to the separation. when it's about to occur, where that's deep, those deep ganguim, the desire to stay together, and I wish one more day, let's stay together one more day. You feel it. You wish you took advantage of all that you had for all the time you were together. And distance creates that love, or the fear of distance, even knowing that you're going to depart from each other. And that's perhaps the closeness of these days. Perhaps the closeness of these days. And it's specifically, Kol Rofeis Yigua Bein HaMetzarim. Once the destruction happens, we parted. It's too late. Bein HaMetzarim, all the days leading up. We're feeling that it's about to occur. You don't want it to happen. We're grabbing on like we've never grabbed before. We're building and be mekusher to the Ribbono Shel Olam because we're afraid of him leaving, which we didn't appreciate all the time when we were together and just enjoying each other's presence. You know, the most special time, in a certain sense, of a yontiv, what's meyuchud to the yontiv when it comes to tefillah and when it came to karbanos, was vada the karban musaf and tefillah musaf, right? That's what set aside, set apart the yontiv from its regular day. And therefore, in shul, tefillah musaf of any yontiv, tefillah musaf of a Shabbos is something very, very special. And specifically, of Shmini Atzeres, tefillah musaf is when we say the special tefillah of Geshem. Geshem is all bracha in the world. Vad, the physical bracha, spiritual bracha. What's the bracha when we keep Torah mitzvahs properly? V'nasati Geshmeichem b'itam. Geshem represents all bracha. Geshem, on a physical sense, obviously rain is what allows produce to grow and allows us to have sustenance, but rain also represents of the lamais. I always felt deeply, I once gave a share on this, I don't remember years ago, I don't remember if anyone was here, I don't remember when it was, but rain represents the kissing of heaven and earth. It's b'mekusher shemayim v'aretz. Rain brings together shemayim v'aretz in a very beautiful way. So tefillas Geshem is the highlight, is the pinnacle of Shemini Atzeres in a certain sense. When is Musaf? Musaf is until the seventh hour of the day. You can say Musaf till the seventh hour of the day. That last hour, which is the culmination, that's when that last hour of Musaf is that last hour from Chatzos, that 1 hour after Chatzos, which is exactly the time period on Tisha B'Av, Shemini Atzeres and Tisha B'Av are connecting each other, when Mashiach ben David is born. The Yerushalmi tells us, the Yerushalmi in Brachos and Beis Dalet, that Mashiach ben David is born on Tisha B'Av Acher Chatzos, during that first hour. Because that's, again, that's the Kedusha of Shemini Atzeres, it's the Kedusha of Tisha B'Av. The Neshama of Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. Bnei Yisrael brings down from Rav Pinchas Koritzer. Listen to this follows, Chaver. Listen to this. Man is unbelievable. How could it be that the Neshama of Mashiach is born? How is Mashiach born on Tisha B'Av, on the lowest of days? So he says so beautifully, because Mashiach's neshama has to be the most halig neshama in the world. So when could it be born? So you think, if I ask you, when should the most halig neshama of all of eternity be born? So one would think, Bistam, it has to be born in Yom Kippur. Bistam, Yom Kippur, maybe during the Yula of Yom Kippur. And another chaver would say, no. Rabbi, come on, it has to be born on Purim. Vad, it's born on Purim. Vad, it's born on Purim, right? Someone said, no, maybe Lel Seder. Lel Seder is Geula, Mashiach, Chatzos of Tisha B'Av. So how does he explain? He says, because if we analyze, similar to what we're saying, and he takes it one step further, if we analyze any relationship between a man and his wife, so they have a very special relationship when they're together. But when they're together, you don't always recognize. When you see a husband and wife, you see your parents walking around, you recognize their love for each other, you know how loved they are. Maybe some people are a little more showy than others. Not that there's a push it, and you should be doing that, but that's for another time. But Lamaisa, when they're about to part from each other, the husband's going on a business trip, and that moment is a tremendous ahava, there's a tremendous love. There's no couple, unless halachically you're not allowed, or if you're in a public setting, but if they're in their house, then before the husband, they're not going to hug each other, they're not going to give a kiss to each other, they're not going to show and feel the love before they part, and they're not going to be together. And by the way, he explains that that's why this halach in Yevamos, Daf Samach Beis and Beis, most of the chevron in this room hasn't learned this yet, but maybe some of you know this halacha, but Bez Hashem, one day you'll learn this halacha, that when a husband, for example, is going to go on a business trip, a 3-4 day business trip, so the night before he leaves, he's supposed to be together with his wife. There's certain times when you're supposed to be together. Lel mikvah vada, obviously you're supposed to be together with your wife. And other times, one specific time, to Gemara and Yevamos Samach Beis and Beis, is when you're going on a business trip. So, Pasha Pshat, most people would understand that. You're going to be away from each other in a few days, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard later. Perhaps on a physical level, it's going to be hard. Perhaps on other levels, whatever it might be, you want to be together before you leave. Listen to how beautiful we're saying now. You see, and not to explain this too much in depth now for another time, Bez Hashem, when we have a chasen shmuz, we'll explain this with everybody. But the physical relationship between a husband and wife is supposed to be, if done in the right way, a outbirth, a consequence of your emotional relationship. Your emotional relationship so beautiful. There's so much ava between each other that the outbirth of that, the consequence of that love, should then translate into the physical relationship as well. Not just I'm bali taiva, so I want to be together. We're not doing that to build the love. There is so much love, so vada, we're also going to share each other in that beautiful way. And that's what it stems from. The moment before you're going to leave each other, we're saying now, the night before you're going to leave each other, the love is felt on the highest of levels. The closeness is felt on the highest of levels. So vada, you have to be together because the love is so deep. The love is so special. So of course, it's going to be translated into your physical relationship as well. It's a beautiful idea. So this moment, now we understand this moment, the moment of Churban Beis HaMikdash, there's no time in history, the moment right prior, that moment as it was happening, as the Ribbono Shel Olam was leaving us, was the deepest closeness we ever felt to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The deepest love. We wanted that relationship so deeply that moment. We felt how special it was. We appreciated it, maybe the first time in history, in the way that we did, because we took it for granted until then. So that very moment, when the closeness is felt in such a deep way, that's when the neshama of Mashiach is born. How beautiful. And that's why, of course, the Kruvim Urim Zebezeh. That's why those angelic figures, of course, we're embracing, because they represent our relationship with Hashem. So maybe we're not doing Ratzon Shel Makom, maybe until the point of Churban, for who knows how long prior, when we're doing Gilei Raya, V'chadam and Avadar, Sinas Chinam, whatever the reason might be, we were Panim El Abayas, maybe those Kruvim were back to back. But the moment of Churban, the moment before Churban, I'd like to say even better, when we knew it was happening, when we felt the Ribbono Shel Olam leaving, at that moment, we were embracing the Ribbono Shel Olam in the deepest of ways. In that moment, by the way, is full mechila, full kapara, as the Sfarim bring down. Because that closeness was felt, and that closeness was brought together in the most beautiful of ways. And that's what we have to feel these days. To feel that closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the difficult times. Vada, we could feel close to Hashem in the most simchatic and beautiful times. We have to recognize that these times is when we reach out and feel the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence in our life and how much He loves us and cares about us, and that we want to be reconnected to Him in a simchatic way. The Arizal says the most amazing idea was based on the Arizal. This Torah, I had this chus to say over. Some of you might have heard it if you listened to that shir I gave in Haskell last Matzei Shabbos. It's worth repeating as Chazara, and those who didn't hear yet. The Rizal explains that if you take the way we refer to Shem Havaya, right? We don't pronounce Shem Havaya. Shem Havaya is Yud Kei Vav Kei. We don't say Yud Kei Vav Kei. We say Aleph Dal Nun Yud. And if you take those four letters and you write them out b'miloy, or say them out b'miloy. Miloy means their full content of the letters. Meaning, so Aleph is not just Aleph, but Aleph is Aleph Lamed Pei. And Dalet is Dalet Lamed Tof. And Nun is Nun Vav Nun. And Yud is Yud Vav Dalet, right? Because if you pronounce an aleph, it's aleph lamed peh. Understood? We've said this over at this table many times, what a mila is. So they're exactly, ends up, they're 12 letters. Because each of the four have three letters to them. And each of those 12 letters is connected a different month in the year. Now, obviously, that's very Kabbalistic, and we're not going to explain them now. Because truth be told, and I'll obviously be honest, I have no clue what that means. I mean, I have a clue. I told over. I know what it means. Yeah, I could link them together. I have no clue how Aleph is Keneged Nisan. I mean, I could create something right now if we wanted to do. Aleph is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Nisan is obviously Yitzias Mitzrayim, and Anoich Hashem L'Kecha stemmed from that. Maybe, but maybe not. Because I'm going to have a really hard time when it comes to Ear being Lamed. That's already, I don't know. I mean, we could create now. Lamed is to learn. Lamed is Hachana for Kriyas Torah. I'm sure we could go through and come up with beautiful things. But I'm not one to say that's what it really means, and it's obviously very deep and very Kabbalistic. But what we will say is as follows. Just go through the beginning. Aleph is Keneged Nisan. Lamed is Keneged Ear. Pei is Keneged Sivan. Then starts the Dalet, right? So the Dalet of Dalet is Keneged Tamas, and the Lamed is Keneged Av. So Tamed and Av, this I do understand. At least we could all. It's very simple. Tamas and Av is Dalet Lamed. These months of Bein HaMitzorim are Dal Lamed. Dal Lamed spells out Dal. Dal means to be very low. It's these months are the lowest time of the year. Most difficult time of the year. The time when Hashem is leaving us. Bechevra, in Tehillim, Kupet Lamed, Pasuk Beis. We find as well, there's another meaning to Dal. Dal could mean very low, but Dal could also mean to lift up. Aromimcha Hashem ki delisani. We praise you, Hashem. We see amazing how amazing you are, Hashem. Ki delisani, because you lift me up. Because when something's very low, it needs to be lifted up. Obviously, they're connected. But dal can be very low. Dal can mean to be lifted up. And our avodah these days is to take the lowness of these days and lift them up. Lift up our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Realize that at that point when we are parting, that's when we feel so close, and I want to rebuild that relationship. To say, Kashal ever asked him to don't leave. So don't leave. And we could turn around these days to days of Simchas, or Keneged Zayin Simchaseinu. And we could turn Shivas or Batamas, which happens to be on the 17th, which is Gematria Toiv, to a day of that Toiv, that's good. I'll tell you one more from the Bnei Yisachar, one more deep part. Before we get into one Avodah for these days.
Wait, hold on, what time is it?
Two more minutes. This is a little bit deep, and I also don't fully grasp, but I saw in the Bnei Yisachar, and it sometimes you read a Torah, and it lifted up my heart, so I feel I have to share it. And I think we'll understand what the avodah that comes out of it. The Bnei Yisachar says, in the name of Hashem, you know the many names of Hashem. Some of them we know. Elohim, Yudke Vovke, Kel, Shakai. There are many other names. With Serufe, Oisiois. There's a name of Hashem. If you take all the letters prior to Yudke Vovke. All the letters prior to Yudke Vovke. In other words, what's the letter prior to Yud? Tes. Prior to Hey? Dalet. Vov. Hey. Hey. Dalet. So there's a Shem Hashem, Tes, Dalet, Hey, Dalet. Okay? Which are the letters before Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now again, obviously this name of Hashem is not Bishlemus yet. It's a little bit lacking. It's a little bit Chisaron, because it's not where it should be. Yud Kei Vav Kei is the name we know. Hoya Hoy Vaviyya. That's the name of Hashem of Rachamim. That's the name we want. This is the name of Hashem that... not that we could say whatever that means in our world, but it's not the completion of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem in a little bit more tzaris, or whatever that meant be, at least the way he's megal himself to us. So if you take the letters, Tes and Dalet is 13. There are 13 days of Tamas, starting from Shivas of Tamas, until Rosh Chodesh Av of the Bein HaMitzarim. So the Tes and Dalet are the 13 days of the Bein HaMitzarim, and the next two letters are Hey, Dalet. Hey, Dalet, are the nine days of Rosh Chodesh Av to Tisha B'Av. So the Bnei Yisachar says these letters, this Ois, this Tzeruf Ois, this Shem, is Keneged, the 13 and 9 days, which are the days of the Ben HaMetzar. What does that mean? It means our Avoida is to see in these days that Hashem is here as well. To see in these days that we can connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe it's a little bit hidden. Maybe it's not Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's name Tess, Hey, Dalet, Hey. Maybe it's a name that's a little more Nister, a name that's a little different. Because Hashem's leaving us. But we have to connect to Him in the deepest of way as well. And we have to see in these days that Kesher to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And I heard, I don't remember who the Rebbe was, but there was a, I heard the story, I think it was, maybe for, it was from the Rebbe, Rebbe Spiegel maybe. But he was speaking about a different Rebbe. And the Rebbe passed away. The Rebbe was Nifter. And then the first year after he was Nifter, they're reading the Toichacha in Shul. They're reading the Toichacha, the Klolos in Shul. And the Rebbe's son, listening to Toichacha, the first year after his father passed away, faints. He almost fainted. Such pachat, such fear from the Toichacha. He faints. Never fainted, so that finally they woke him up, they poured water, whatever. What happened? He says, he never before fainted, he never before heard the Toichacha year in year out, first time he faints. He says, I've never heard the Toichacha before. He says, what do you mean you never heard the Toichacha before? You don't go to Piyur and Shul when we're at Toichacha? Never heard Toichacha before. He says, every year when my father would read the Toichacha, to me it sounded like the biggest brachas in the world. To me, it sounds like the most beautiful brachas in the world. This is the first time I heard Teichla, I heard Klolos. Meaning, in every Klola, in every difficulty, the lining of silver, of Kedusha, of Simcha, of Imo Anechi Mitzara, the Rabbi Nisham is there, there's a Talmud of it, Kom Adarech Matav of it. We have to recognize that, we have to realize that. And in these difficult times, these difficult days, we have to realize Hashem's about to leave us. We have to feel that kesher, that anxiety we should have of departation, of separation anxiety, that we don't want it to happen. And I want to reach out to Hashem and feel close to Him. One of you, so what does that mean? Okay, we're understanding now what it means. We're understanding why we have to be, why we're close to Hashem these days. We understand the connection to Simchas Torah and specifically to Shemini Atzeres and Zman Simchas Seinu. What's our avoda during these days with that feeling? So I'm close to Hashem. What's our avoda? What's my avoda? What do I do with these feelings? What do I do to connect to Hashem? Vada Torah. Vada sit and learn Torah. I was not going to go through the whole Torah now if you didn't hear from this past Matzah Shabbos with the number 528. But the Zohar teaches us, brought down by the Rechayim Kaddish in the beginning of Tesaveh, that the Dalet Golios, the first Golos, the Geula came in Zchus of Avram, the second is Zchus of Yitzchuk, the third is Zchus of Yaakov, the fourth is Zchus of Moshe Rabbeinu, and until we're Isaac B'Torah in the proper way, he's not going to come. Talmud Torah is going to bring Geula. That's first of all. And Talmud Torah Vada develops that Kesher to Hashem. That's no question. The Baal Tanya tells us, everyone tells us, and anywhere you look, you understand that. But one other Avodah I want to talk about specifically. How do we ensure that we can flip these days from dal to kidli sani, from low to lifting them up and to be makusha to Hashem? So the Arizal, who I guess is very big into the month, we're saying tonight in different ways, the month of the year, he says also each month of the year is connected to a different limb of the head, a different part of the head, part of our rosh. He says Tammuz is our right eye, and Av is our left eye. Now again, I don't have any understanding of Kabbalah and how the Arizal knows that, but I know the Arizal was Sadiq Yisrael Olam, and I'm going to accept that Tammuz is our left eye, and Av is our right eye. As we say in Eichi, Eini, Eini, Yardumayim. Eini, Eini, my two eyes, Eini, Eini. Tammuz and Av, these days, Yardumayim, I'm flowing with tears. These are days that are very much mekusher to our Einayim then. We see that these days, if we look back in the chait that created the pattern, the foundation of these days being days of Tzaras, it's chait meraglim, right? We read that chet meraglim, as we know that the Chazal teach us that because the chet meraglim, which ultimately was culmination, was on Tisha B'Av, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "You cried b'chir chashchinam, I'll give you what to cry about on this day." Chet meraglim started from the beginning of Tammuz through all of Tammuz up until Tisha B'Av. All of these days, chet meraglim was all that the Einayim weren't used appropriately. They went latur zaharet, they went to spy out the land with their eyes, and they didn't use that properly. Our eyes are so kadosh. And there's no question as well. There's no coincidence in this hashkacha that these days are in the midst of the summer, the hottest time in the year, when there's the most pritzos in the streets, the most pritzos everywhere there is, and Shmir Sinayim is the most difficult time of the year. Shmir Sinayim is the most difficult time of the year. Vada for everybody. I don't mean staying away from a beach, because hopefully we're B'nai Torah, we stay away from a beach and stay away from a pool, but just to walk on Central Avenue. Just to walk in the city, if you have a job in the city these days. People walk around like they think they're at a beach. What used to be the beaches were more tznius than is in the streets these days. So these are big days when the two einayim can get tamed of. And if those are two einayim, Rabbanu Shem telling us that the tikkun of these months is with the einayim. If you take gematria ayin plus ayin, the two einayim, ayin plus ayin is 260, which is gematria Pinchas and Eliyahu. As we know, Pinchas and Eliyahu Navi is going to bring us the gula if we have the proper usage of our eyes. You know, chevron in this room, some are already dating, some will be dating. The Gemara in Tainis, Daf Chavdala, tells us what when you have a kala. What do you look for more than anything else? If she has nice eyes, you don't have to check anything else. That doesn't mean nice eyes, lemaisa, physically nice eyes. Although maybe it's nice, you want to appreciate the eyes of your wife. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's something, meaning her, kadosh degayinayim, she's kadosh. What's wrong? You don't care about such a feature? What's going on? I don't know. What's going on? What?
I think
it's a nice feature. Oh, okay. Aurel has beautiful eyes, that must be. The eyes, you look in the eyes, you could tell a lot about a person. You could understand them. You could see their depth. You could see what's important to them. You could see a lot in the einayim. You could see their simchas l'chaim. You could see everything in the eyes. The eyes are so kadosh. That's why it is, right? You take a speck of dirt, a speck of gashmias, any part of your body, you hardly feel it. A speck of dirt in your eye, it mamish destroys you. Because the einayim are so kadosh, they can't bear any gashmias. Can't bear any gashmias. That's why you're the most. Your tears come from the eyes. Your tears are the most real thing in the world. Whether it's tears of saras, lo aleinu, or it's tears of simcha. So we'll hold off and talk about on Tisha B'Av. Bez Hashem will be a moed, and we'll talk about tears of simcha. But no matter what, it's going to be a day of the most. Bez Hashem, the most shall simcha. So these are big days to work on our eyes. So B'nai Yisrael brings down unbelievable also. Now, I don't know where this comes from. I know there's some deeper Torah, but I'm trying to bring it down to earth. The B'nai Yisrael says, I don't know where he understands this from, Al Pi Kabbalah, Al Pi Svarim, that the name of Mashiach ben Yosef, I'm going to reveal now the name of Mashiach ben Yosef, anybody know? B'nai Yisrael, I saw it in the B'nai Yisrael, he says, is Nechemya ben Chushiel. And the name of Mashiach ben David is Menachem ben Amiel. This is what he says. Menachem ben Amiel. If you take the gematria, listen to this. If you take gematria of Nechemya ben Chushiel and Menachem ben Amiel, and you add the gematria of all that, plus you add Eliyahu, because Eliyahu Navi, besides for Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef, Eliyahu is going to be the one that's going to bring us Besuras Tovos, right? So if you add the gematria of all of it, and I add it up, it's 913. B'nai Sassach says exactly Gematria Bereshis, the beginning. Because that's what we're trying to get back to. We're trying to get back to Bereshis. We're trying to get back to the beginning. We're trying to get back to Kikadem, B'gan Eden Kikadem, Tzman Mashiach, Geula, Adam Rishon Kaidem L'chait. And let's think about it. We're at the end. And we want to connect back to the beginning. What's the very end of the Torah, the very end? What are the last few words? Le'enei kol Yisrael. Le'enei Kol Yisrael. Meaning once we're mitakein enei Kol Yisrael, once we're mitakein our einayim during these months of Tammuz V'av, then we could get back to, we could reconnect the ends to the Bereishis, and Bereishis, which is Gematria 9:13, Chushiel, Nechemya ben Chushiel, Menachem ben Amiel, and Elio. This is our voda. Our voda is to fix our eyes, to have Shemir Seinayim, to look at the right thing. Vad, look at Torah, look at Tefillah, and to close our eyes when need be from things we shouldn't be looking at. Ha'ayin roya v'alev choymeid. The first step of any Avera is ayin, the ayin roya. That's our avodah these days. So vad b'Torah, but as well in our einayim during these months of Tammuz V'av, to reconnect Hashem at these times when Hashem is lo aleinu leaving us. I know the hour is late, but I want to read one story. We'll end with this. Even when it's late, Chevro always has time for a story, I think. No one doesn't enjoy a story. I just picked this up. I opened this up today, and there's one story I read, and this was the story, and this is what the Rabbanu Shem wanted me to share with you then. It's called Alive and Well. It was 1984. Yingi Braun, who worked for El Al for many years, started off as a baggage handler, then working his way up the corporate ladder to the position of vice president. Yingi was a quiet, unassuming man, and although he was well-liked by his peers, he kept mostly to himself. He had come to the shores of Eretz Yisrael shortly after the war, some 40 years ago. His fellow workers were conscious of the fact that he was a war survivor, although he rarely spoke of it. In fact, he never spoke of his past. His co-workers learned quickly that Yingi was terribly uncomfortable talking about his war experiences, did not bring up the subject with him. In Israel, preparations began for the 40th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz. Journalists worldwide scurried searching for stories and interest. The media hunted for personal accounts from those who had survived the war. The fact that they were opening wounds that had been sealed long ago did not concern them. A story, no matter what the cost, was a story. One of Yingi's co-workers insensitively suggested to him that perhaps, as a prominent member of Israeli society, an important corporate executive, he should volunteer for an interview. Yingi shrugged off the proposal and hoped that the idea would be put to rest. None of his other colleagues dared suggest it again, and Yingi was grateful. His memories had been buried long ago, and perhaps that's where they were best kept. The matter had been put to rest a month past without incident. Those that overheard the insensitive suggestions had admonished the associate who had recommended the interview. All of Yingi's acquaintances now knew never again to mention the subject. Yingi regularly received a newsletter for war survivors, and in the current issue, the headline shocked him. Dr. Mengele, alive and well in South America. Yingi studied the newsletter carefully, reading and rereading every word of the article. His blood boiled as he pictured in his mind the sadistic doctor's cold, cruel demeanor. Vivid memories raced through Yingi's mind, his face contorted, reflecting his inner torment. Reliving nightmarish experience that he wished would remain buried, feeling that familiar sense of utter rage that demanded revenge. His very soul was struggling with this news. Later that day, in his office, the telephone rang. It was a woman from New Zealand who worked for the German weekly news magazine, Der Spiegel. She explained that she had been looking for a personal account from a Holocaust survivor and had been given his name. In light of the recent rumors that Dr. Mengele was alive, would he be interested in doing the interview? Yingi thought long and hard. The thought that Dr. Mengele roamed free made him feel physically ill. After thinking over and over about the interview, he finally relented, utterly surprising himself. Most certainly, he stated emphatically. They agreed to meet at Yingi's home the next day. Yingi slept uneasily that night, twisting and turning. Memories that had been locked up for 40 years were creeping ever so slowly back to the forefront of his mind. He envisioned long lines of confused families being directed to life or death with uncaring movement of man's index fingers if he had been selecting paint colors. He remembered how he and his twin sister volunteered when the call went out for twins to step forward. Screaming, he woke up in the middle of the night, shaking and sweating. Perhaps this was all a mistake. Why go through it? Let the past die. The remainder of the night and during early morning, Yingi thought of canceling the interview, but somehow he just could not cancel. At 10 o'clock, the doorbell rang and Lisa Dubois introduced herself as a reporter from Der Spiegel. Yingi invited her and set out two cups of coffee and they sat down and spoke. At first his words came out as if pulled by an invisible chain, slowly, with great effort. And then as he went on and watched the interview with a sympathetic face, he realized he was speaking more freely. He recalled for her the sickening experiments performed on him and his sister, pausing briefly to regain his composure. His emotion twisted into a world of pain, grief, and anger. Lisa listened, awed by the description of what happened to this man and what he had endured. 2 hours later, Yingi finished his narrative, exhausted and emotionally spent. Then Lisa asked him one final question. What would you do if you met up with Dr. Mengele today? What would you say to him? What would you do to him? He thought for a moment, having reviewed the scenario over in his mind countless times prior to this question. He knew what he would say because he had been saying it his entire life. Dr. Mengele, I want you to know one thing. After all your hatred and malice, in spite of all your efforts, we have won and you have lost. I have two children, young, healthy boys. Every day they go to school and study God's Torah. And that is our badge of conquest, our symbol of triumph. I appropriately named them Ud, a spark, and Amichai, my nation is still alive. Yingi's eyes blazed with fire and spirit if he had actually just spoken with the infamous doctor who had altered the lives of millions. Lisa had stopped writing long ago. She had heard what she came for, now understanding that the legacy of the Jewish nation will indeed last forever. I read this story today, and all I could think is as follows. This year in Gehenna Al Eretz, he didn't live through commemorating a Chorban the way we are. He lived through Chorban. And what he wanted to tell the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, what he wanted to tell the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, was not a desire to scream at them in rage, but was that he's rebuilt, and that there's a Klal Yisrael, and Amichai. How did he do that? Only a year at that moment, at those moments, that moment of the darkest of Choshech, understood how deeply connected he is to the Rabbonei Shalom, understood how much Av, how much love Hashem has for us, understood that even in the darkest of hours, Hashem is there, and when he's leaving us, it's even more so I want to be reconnected to him, and I can't wait to send my kids to yeshiva. And to name them in ways that will remind me that we're always going to be connected. Amichai and Ud. And that's a little bit of our avoda these days, Chevra. Our avoda is to understand that they're difficult days, they're dull, but Aramim Hashem Kidlisani, I want to be reconnected to you from this darkness, Miyagon L'Simcha, to reconnect through sitting and learning Torah, through the Shemir Sanayim like we spoke about. And maybe in that tzchus, if we understood how deeply we feel and we should be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when He's about to leave us, because we're still in Bein HaMetzarim, we're not there yet, we will be zoyche not to have to go through a Tisha B'Av on the floor, but a Tisha B'Av of Karle Moed, a Tisha B'Av of Yontav and of Simcha. And hopefully we won't have to have a Tisha B'Av here, but we'll have a Tisha B'Av dancing together by the Kaisel, dancing together by the Beis HaMikdash. Every single year, I sent out today, I don't know if Chevra read the email or didn't read the email. For the past many years, we've had a very special program, Tisha B'Av in DRS. And some of the Chevra have been asking, because I sent out just to know that it's on my radar, and it's on the radar that if we're not Zoyche to be in Eretz Yisrael, the Vada will have it. But the hope and the reason I haven't taken care of details and exact times or really had any type of format yet for the program is because we hope deeply we're not going to have such a Tisha B'Av. We're going to have Tisha B'Av, Karle Moed, a Tisha B'Av of Simcha, Tisha B'Av of Bracha. It's up to us to reach out and tell the Rabbeinu Shalom, Kashal Evri Daschem, we feel the closeness, we feel you leaving, we don't want you to leave. And we're going to show you through our Torah, through our Shemir Shanayim, through our Avodah during these days, that Rabbeinu Shalom should never leave us, we'll be connected, and only have Simcha and Bracha every single moment of our life. Gula Shlema, Karav Mash. Amen.